Amen. I enjoy that song. I'm preaching on prayer, and I picked that song because it's so easy to get shaken in our life. I'm going to tell you, I'm excited to be here today. For me, I don't know about you guys. I don't know what you look forward to, but Sunday to me is the best day of the week. It's just an exciting day. I know most people dread Mondays, and Mondays, I dread Mondays too. Honestly, Monday's the worst day of the week, and Sunday's the best day of the week. It's not Friday's not the best day. Sunday's the best day. I mean, I love being in church, and I love the church. I love you guys. There's just something about this day for me that makes it really fun, and I really appreciate you guys being here. And last week, I began the sermon on prayer and that battle, that struggle that goes on, and how do we pray? And I chose this title called Red Letter Prayers, and we call it Red Letter Prayers. Why do we call it Red Letter Prayer? Anybody remember? Because it's the Bible's words are Jesus' words, right? The red letters in the Bible are Jesus' words. So what we're looking at is Jesus' words. And last week, we looked at Jesus teaching how to pray. There was something different about Jesus' prayer. The disciples were there, and they heard Jesus pray, and it's kind of like, whoa, that's different. And they asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Well, this morning, I want to take it another step and not look at Jesus teaching to pray. I want to look at Jesus' prayer. I want us to pause for a moment and look. And here's what I want you to notice. As we go over this prayer this morning, I want you to see something. I want you to see the correlation between what Jesus taught and what Jesus did. Jesus taught, this is how to pray. Now, did he do it that way? I think you're going to be amazed as we look at God's word, because what's interesting to me as I started thinking about the message is, why would Jesus need to pray? He's God. He's God's son, but he's God. I don't understand all of that. You know, he's God in the physical form. He's here on earth. Why would he need to pray? I mean, it doesn't matter what he prays. The answer is going to be yes. It's Jesus. You're God. You're God's son. You say that. Why would Jesus need to pray? And yet we're going to look at a story here where Jesus was really hurting, where Jesus was really struggling, where Jesus was experiencing some pain, and he was just kind of wrestling with some things in his life and some things that were about to happen. And here he is. I really, as I read this, it was amazing to me to think, here is God in the physical form hurting. Not physically hurting, that's going to come a little while later. But he's battling emotionally inside. There's a future out there that he's facing. There's some things that are going to hack him. There's some circumstances that's just ahead and just over the hill for him. And he's sitting there and he's struggling. And he's hurting. And it's like, now, you know, you can't stop. Have you ever had those experiences? You ever had that thing that you know it's there and you just don't want it to happen? You know, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you know that this week you've got to, and you just dread it. And you dread what's there and you dread what's happening. And it's kind of like you can't avoid it. You can't stop it. It's just kind of like this ball's just going to roll right over the top of you. And you see it coming, but there's nothing you can do about it. Maybe there's a problem in the marriage. Maybe there's some marital issues and some marital battles. Maybe you just found something out, or maybe they're about to say something. Maybe you need to say something and you really don't. But you know it's there. Maybe there's something in your past that you know it's going to pop up sooner or later. You know, you've kind of had it pushed back. You kind of had it hidden back there. But you know someday this thing's just going to pop up and bite you. Maybe there's a relationship, a boyfriend or a girlfriend situation, and you know that you're walking this line, and you know, and you just dread that someday it's going to come out. Maybe it's finances, and maybe you're going to, you know it's coming, that you know all the jobs are going to disappear, or the job's going to have hours roll back, or there's going to be some financial ramifications here, and you're struggling, and you know it's there. Maybe it's a child. You know, I always laugh at this. You know, when you're young and you think about having your kids, it's like, well, you have your kids, you raise them until they're 18, then you send them off and they're gone. How many parents have kids that are under 18? I'm not going to live with you, but you still stress about them. You still worry about anybody. You know, I don't care how old that kid gets to be. You know, nobody tell you that when you have your kids. You know, it's like, well, when they're 18, they'll go away. It don't happen that way. You know, and maybe there's some things with your children that are just weighing on you, and some things with those kids that are just a pressure on you. Maybe there's some health things going on. Maybe there's some news, some health things, and maybe you dread, I've got to go to the doctor. I got this test I've got to do, and I really don't want to know the results. But it's unavoidable, and it's there. And so as I looked at this story, I started saying, We find ourselves in that situation. I can remember a time when I'm driving down the road just wishing it wasn't so. Anybody? And I can't remember what the situation was, but I can remember driving down the road. God, I hope this isn't true. I hope this. And I just had, I couldn't avoid it. I couldn't get out of it. There was nowhere to turn. I had to go through it. It's just going through my head. I just hope it's not right. I hope there's a mistake. I hope there's something different. How do we wrestle with these issues? And this is what Jesus is doing. See, Jesus has this thing in front of him. He can't stop it, and it's not going to change, and it's unavoidable. And what's he going to do? And how does he deal with it? And he prays. And I want to look at that prayer, because what I want us to notice when we look at this prayer is notice what changes. Because sometimes things are unavoidable. Sometimes things don't stop, and you can't do anything about it. But what can change? Let me set the context. This is the Garden of Gethsemane. This is just after Jesus met with his disciples. He had been with them for about three and a half years. He had done miracles. He had healed the blind, made the lame walk. He even raised the dead. He had done all sorts of things like that. Fed 5,000. Miracles throughout his life. He had taught various things, shared the Sermon on the Mount. They had seen all this in Jesus' life. And he had told them over and over again that someday he's going to die. That someday this would all end. And he had shared that with them. And now he's gathered in this upper room, and he's sitting there with them, and he's talking with them again. Sharing that I'm going to die. And Peter lips off. And Peter. Peter lips off and says, I don't care what happens, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never flee. I'm on your side till death do us part. That's kind of what Peter's saying. And Peter says that, and Jesus says, well, let me tell you something, Peter. Before the sun goes up, you're going to deny me. He's talking to a guy named Judas, and he's saying, Judas, you got to go do what you're supposed to do. You've got this plan, and we know what Judas' plan was, right? Judas was sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And so he sends Judas off to do what he's going to do. The disciples had no idea what was going on. And so now they had wrapped up their dinner in this upper room. They shared what we call the Lord's Supper, and they're kind of going their ways, and Jesus says, I need to go pray. And so he goes out into the garden. I want you to look at this. Get your little outline out and follow along, because I think there's some really good teaching here about prayer and how God works when those times in our life we just can't avoid. When you want to run from that situation, when you want to hide from that situation, when you wish things would change and it's not changing, when you wish it was different, it might be your kids, it might be your finances, it might be your home, it might be your job. I don't know, it might be your health. I don't know. When those times that come that you just seem you can't avoid, what do you do? Jesus prayed. He went to the garden. Look at what it says here. And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he says to the disciples, sit here while I pray. He took his 11. Remember, Judas had run off, so he's got 11 guys with him. He takes them out, and he's walking into this Garden of Gethsemane. And as he's walking out into the garden, he says, listen, you guys sit here and you pray. Spend some time right here praying. But then he goes on, and he took with him Peter, James, and John. So there's seven of them sitting there, eight of them sitting there, and he takes these other three, and he says, let's go a little further. And he walks on with these other three, and he began to be greatly distressed and troubled. There's anguish, there's pain, there's sorrow. I just don't see Jesus having pain. I don't know about you, but I just never imagined Jesus suffering like this. It just doesn't fit my context of God. It doesn't fit my context of who God is. But he's suffering, he's hurting, there's anguish, there's pain. As he's looking towards what's ahead of him. Anybody ever feel like that? You're looking maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe some news you just got, maybe there's something coming, maybe there's something you just can't avoid, and it's just killing you. It's weighing. That's what Jesus is experiencing here. It's just, there's this turmoil in him. And he walked into the garden, and it's bothering him, and he began to be greatly distressed and troubled, and he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. He says, I'm really hurting. I'm really hurting. This is not a good time. Remain here and watch. So now he leaves these other three. And he's got this one group over there, and he's got this other group here. And they're all supposed to be praying. And he tells them to watch, to pay attention, to see what's going on. Not to watch him go pray, but to watch the situation. See, Jesus knows what's going to happen. See, Jesus knows that, you know, this is it. That's why he's in sorrow. And just a little few hours later, guess what? He's going to be beaten, whipped, and nailed to a cross. He knows that. And he's telling the disciples, watch. Watch. Be careful. Watch and pray. And he's telling them this, and remain here and watch. And see, I see Jesus in the midst of this turmoil, this inner turmoil. And he's going into the garden to pray. That's how we should be. When life throws those things that you can't get out of, those things that you can't avoid, that news that you hate to hear, those words that you don't want to go to, whether it's at work or your finances or whatever it may be, it might be even at school, I don't know. But when those times come and it just seems like you can't stop it and you want to run, you don't want to hear it, you don't want anything to do with it, but it's happening. That's what's going on with Jesus. And he prays. And he's got these other guys praying. I think that's important. Notice he's got these other guys praying. And look at what it says. It says, and going a little further, he fell on the ground. He kneeled down and he prayed. He went a little further. He's by himself. He got alone with God. He got alone, just him and his Father. And he kneels to the ground and he prays. And he said, if it's possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, God, if it's possible. But I like this next phrase. Look what it says. Abba, Father, all things are possible. I want you to notice this. Jesus comes before God in prayer. And he goes, God, if it's possible, I want you to change the future. God, I want you to change this unavoidable circumstance in my family, in my finances. I want you to stop this thing, God, if it's possible. But what does Jesus say? All things are possible. See, Jesus wrestled with this idea. Have you ever wrestled with that? You ever ask God to do something, and in your back of your mind, you're going, I don't know if he's really going to do it. You know, you ever wrestle with, you know, God, I have this need, I have this concern, I don't want this, please change this, please do this, but I'm just not sure if he's going to do it. Look, God, if it's possible. But Jesus went on and said, God, you can do anything. All things are possible. There's nothing impossible with God. And he paints this picture for God, that there's nothing impossible. And he calls him Abba Father. Now, I put this here because I want to make sure you get this. It denotes a childlike intimacy and trust. He's saying, God, I trust you. If it's possible, God, but I trust you because I know all things are possible. Do you see the picture? We ever feel like that in our lives? God, I got this situation. I got this circumstance. Can you change it? Will you make it different? You know, God, but he goes like this, God, Abba Father, I trust you. My life's in your hands, and I know all things are possible. Remove this cup. But look, he goes back to it. Remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will. He's going, God, I know you can change this. I know that nothing is impossible with you, that this does not have to happen this way. But God, if that's what you want, let it be. I see this wrestling in his life as he does this. And I don't know about you, but when I want God to change something, I want to change my way. Anybody? I don't know about you, but Gary's smart. Gary's got it all figured out, and if God would just do it my way, it would be nice. Anybody else have a plan like that? You know, you get it all worked out, you get it all figured out, and you know, well, God, if you just do it this way, it will be okay. Everything would be fine. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't happen that way. Here Jesus is in the midst of this garden and he's praying and he acknowledges God and he acknowledges who God is and he acknowledges that God is his Father. I like this. He didn't say, you know, what did he teach in the first prayer we looked at? He said, "Our Father." But in this prayer he goes, and when he's experiencing this himself, he goes, "Abba, Father, my Father, the God who I trust, the Father who I've put my life in his hands, I trust him." I like this. And he goes on to say, "Not my will, but thine." Now, do you see the connection with what I said last week and what we're reading today? Do you see the connection with what Jesus taught us to pray and how he taught us to pray and how he's praying? Remember how he taught us to pray? He says, when you pray, pray like this: "Our Father who art in heaven." Acknowledging who God is. What did Jesus just do? He acknowledged who God is. Absolute, total, complete trust in God. You are God. Nothing's impossible. Everything's possible. You created this world. You formed this world. This is a glorious place you have made. You are God. Abba, Father. Jesus taught us to pray that, and here he is doing it. He started off just like he said. Pray like this: "Our Father." Jesus, Abba, Father. What was the second thing he said pray for? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What was the second thing Jesus prayed for? "Not my will, but yours. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Do you see Jesus doing exactly what he taught? What he said for us to do? That in our prayers, that in those times when there's distress in our heart, in those times when we're hurting, in those times when we're suffering, in those times when we wish the future was different, Jesus is saying, "Listen. Trust God. Trust. If all things are possible, yes, I want it different. Yes, I want a different way. But God, it doesn't matter what I want. Your will be done." I see this great prayer, and I see Jesus saying this. And so I put the same thing I put last week. Look at what it says. Prayer is about surrendering our will, not imposing it. It's about surrendering my will. God, not my will, but yours. And here I wondered like this. Jesus is God, and he's suffering this much with life and what's ahead of him. Then he knows what it's like for us. That Jesus surrendered his godness and became a man like you and I. And so when I'm hurting, Jesus knows and Jesus cares. That's what he's saying here. You're my Father. You know you care. You know, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake. We read those words and we don't think about them. Maybe you even say them. I know I say them. Do you really think about it? He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe all things are possible with God? And yet we face those situations in our life that we wish were different. And we wonder where God's at. We come to those points and we look at life and, you know, and we're praying, "God, can it be different? Can it be different?" How many of us can go to that next step and say, "God, not my will, but yours"? I tell you, that's hard. I'm going to be honest, that's hard. To stand before God and know that I want it different, God. I don't want to go through this. You know, I can you change it, God? Can you make it easier, God? Can you do it different, God? You know, but God, not what I want, what you want. And I see that challenge here for us. And so Jesus prayed, and if you read the scripture and you read in the gospel, Luke, this is in several of the gospels, and you read the different gospel story, it talks about when he kneeled and he prayed, it was like sweats, drops of blood dripped out. You know that's physically possible. Doctors, they say that's physically possible. That his sweat looked like drops of blood, that the anguish was so much. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had those times. Anybody? I've had those times when my heart just aches. When that situation is just there that I dread, that I wish wouldn't happen, whether it's for me or maybe a family member or maybe a friend, and you're praying, you're diligently seeking God and wishing it wasn't so and praying it wasn't so, and you're just hurting. Can we say, "Not my will, but thine"? And I see Jesus in these words sharing that. So he's prayed this. So he gets up. Look at what it says. And he got up and he came and he found them sleeping. All right, so he gets up, he walks back. There's Peter, James, and John, and they're out cold. They're asleep. Jesus had asked them to do what? Watch. Watch. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. He said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Now, here's an idea. You know, if you're ever at work or at school and you fall asleep, let me give you a little hint. Here's what you can, you know, you're ever at work, you fall asleep, and somebody yells at you, you know, your boss walks in and you're sitting there asleep at the desk. Here's what you do, real quick, real easy, one word, amen. All right? Just say amen. They think you're praying, all right? Yeah. All Peter had to do is wake up and go, amen. I just had my eyes closed and was praying, Jesus. Yeah. No, they're asleep, and Jesus finds them asleep. Could you not watch 1 hour? Couldn't you hang with me 1 hour? Couldn't you sit there 1 hour, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation? Now, this is really important right here. Because here you're going to see a difference. Jesus prayed, and he prayed. He went off, and he prayed. He left them there and told them to watch and pray. Because he knows temptation is coming. Temptation is coming for him. Temptation comes to them. Temptation comes to us. You know, when those situations come, you know, when those circumstances come in our life that we wish wouldn't come, that we wish we could change, that we wish weren't true, that we wish it's just different, do we ever try to take the easy way out? Anybody besides me? You know, ever try to take a shortcut? The situation is there, and those circumstances are there. And what's interesting, you know, as the pressure builds in those situations, it gets easier to get tempted and to do what's wrong. Anybody? You know, well, it's only a white lie. It's only a half-truth. Instead of facing it, you run away. Ooh, run away. Here's these guys. I mean, think about this. Jesus prayed. He asked them to pray. They fall asleep. When Jesus gets arrested, guess what they do? Anybody got an idea what they do? When Jesus come and Judas and the army comes to pick up Jesus, what happens to Peter and James and John and those guys? They what? They ran away. Temptation. They couldn't stand. Why couldn't they stand? Because they hadn't watched and prayed. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Is that true for all of us? You know what you want to do. You know you want to serve God. You know you want to do what God wants. You know you want to be where God wants you to be. And yet, it's Sunday morning, I'm going to sleep in. Had a great time. My son, Jeremiah, hadn't been to church for a while, and that's been one of my prayers to, you know, I want my kids in church. I just feel, well, God died for his church. I think it's important to God. It should be important to me. That's just my opinion. I mean, I don't know about you, but if it's important to God, don't you think it should be important to us? You know, and so my son wasn't in church. He had been in church for a while since they had moved up to Kentucky. And he called me the other day, and we were talking. And he said, oh, we're back in church. I talked about being back in church, and him and his kids, and the kids are having a great time, and da-da-da-da-da. And about a week or two later, he calls me, and he's having a bad week, okay? The car broke, and, I mean, everything's gone wrong. I mean, he's just having, he went down the list. I'm serious. He had a list a mile long of just, it's bad, all right? It is going wrong. And so the week rolls along, you know, that was like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know. He calls me again later the next week, and things just went really great. I mean, all the problems kind of went away. Yeah, you know, he had to pay to fix his car, but things just went really, really well. And he went like this. He goes, man, things went well. Things were good. He says, now since I got all that taken care of, I don't need to go back to church, right? And I tell him, a lot of people do that, so go ahead. I was joking with but you know, it's kind of like we get these situations and God steps in or God doesn't step in. Like I said, he still had to pay for it, all this stuff going on. It's like, we're tempted to take the short ways. We're tempted to cheat. We're tempted to go around. And here, Jesus says, watch and pray. And they couldn't even do it for an hour. You know, they wanted to. They were willing to. But they just couldn't do it. I think that's the teaching for us. And so I put it this way. Prayer is about preventing temptation from destroying us. Because you know what happened. You know, we're going to read on in just a minute, and they arrest Jesus, and all that goes on, and Jesus is on trial, and Peter's standing outside in the courtyard, warming himself, looking into the courtyard over there, watching them try Jesus, and some little girl walks up to Peter and goes, "Hey, you're one of those guys that were with him all day. I've seen you hanging around. Your voice gives you away." And Peter goes, "I ain't got no idea what you're talking about." Not just once, but three times. Peter, who said, "I'm going to die for you, Jesus," denied Jesus. Could the lack of prayer and watching be a problem? Could that make a difference? Jesus knew what was ahead of him. I see Jesus saying, "Listen, watch, pay attention. Because if you don't, you're not going to do what you want to do. I know you want to, Peter. I know, Peter, you want to die with me. You are willing to die with me. I know that's what you want. But if you don't watch and pray, it might not go that way." See, I want to challenge us. We want to serve God. We want to be a part of what God. We want to be good husbands and wives. Our children want to be good children. We want to have good jobs. We want all this. Are we watching and praying? See, as the pressure goes up, it gets easier and easier to do what's wrong. See, as that pressure builds, as that tension comes, when those heartaches and those turmoils and those things in our life are weighing on us, we're in anguish and we're hurting and we're suffering, there's something going on. You know, it might be finances, it might be our marriage, it might be a boyfriend, girlfriend, it might be work, it might be health, it could be a many other things. We see it coming and we're hurting. Are we watching and praying? Because it's easy to run. It's easy to go hide. "Well, God took care of me now. Now I don't have to go to church." I loved it when my son told me. He was joking, okay? Just make sure you know Jeremiah was joking. Yeah. Because he's been in church ever since. Talked about, works late at night on Saturday, and he still gets up and goes to church. And I hear that. And I just, does prayer make a difference? And what I want us to think about here, especially as we get into this last part, think about this. Prayer may not change the situation. Prayer may not change the circumstances. Prayer may change us. Do you know that? That unavoidable situation, that pain, that hurt may never go away. But God may change us. Look at what happens here. Look at what it says here. "And again," I circled the word again. Matter of fact, I circled it several times. "And again he went away and prayed," he being Jesus. He prayed, saying the same words. He went over and prayed again, "Father, I know all things are possible with you. Can you change this? But not my will, but yours." He went away and he prayed again. "And again he came back and he found them sleeping. For their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to answer him. And he came a third time," which means he went out and prayed again. He went over and prayed again. "Father, if it's possible, and I know all things are possible, can you change this? But not my will, but yours." And he came to them the third time and said, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest?" Three times Jesus prayed. Three times they failed. Three times they slept. Three times they didn't make it. But here's what I want you to hear at this next. "It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be gone. See, my betrayer is at hand." Judas walks up, gives him the holy kiss on the cheek, and he's arrested. But I want you to see something here. Jesus enters the garden in anguish. Is that right? He enters the garden sorrow and distressed and heavy-hearted and the pressure, it's unavoidable. This future I cannot change. This situation is not going to be different. This is the way it has to be. And I don't want it this way, but not my will, but yours. He goes in there hurting and pain, distress, sorrow. Call it all that in. And yet when he walks out of the garden, look at what it says. Rise. Let us be going. Something changed. Something happened in that garden. Jesus goes into that garden, heartache and broken. The future that he really didn't want to do was still going to happen. And yet after three times of prayer, after three occasions of breaking down and standing before God and praying, not my will, but thine. I know it's all possible, but not my will, but thine, God. Whatever you want, your will be done. When he got up that third time, he could walk out of that garden with courage, with strength, and different. See, I think there's something going on here about prayer. See, when we pray, at least when I do, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't say we. When I pray many times, I want God to change the situation. I want God to change the circumstances. I don't want that in front. I want it different. See, I can remember when we had Jennifer just as a baby and they thought she had spinal meningitis. And we take her to the hospital and they put her in the room. And I remember they were doing a spinal tap on her. Wasn't it spinal meningitis? Leukemia? Okay, whatever it was. My wife's giving me hints. But I can remember them doing a spinal tap on her. And we're sitting outside that door, and I hear my little girl in there crying, and I'm hurting. And God, I don't want this. I don't like it like this. I don't want this to happen. And I'm sitting outside that door. See, that little bacteria tray had said there was something wrong. And we had called all our friends, and we had called everybody we could think of and said, we need you guys praying now. That it was something in that dish that was contaminated and not something in our daughter that's contaminated. And praying for it to be different. Anybody been in situations like that? That you're waiting for those results. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's at work. You know, your boss is in there making some decisions. The company's going to shut down. I don't know. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You're waiting for that phone call. And you're hurting. And what I want to see here and what I want you to notice here. Something changed, but it wasn't the situation that changed. It was Jesus. Because Jesus walked out of that garden. He walked to the court and was beaten. He walked and carried his cross as long as he could carry his cross to Mount Golgotha. He walked all the way. How could he do that? For moments earlier, he's sitting there crying and weeping drops of blood, asking God to change it. But God didn't change it. God changed him. And I put it this way, if you look at your outline. Prayer is about leaning into God's will and strength daily. That's what prayer is about. See, prayer is not so much God changing the outcome. God, I want this job situation different. I want my home life different. I want my family different. I want my children different. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need this boyfriend, this girlfriend, this job, this school, this. And we have all this list. God, I want this different. I don't like the way this is going. God, change this. But God didn't change this. God changes that. He changes us. See, I see Jesus praying, and I see this prayer, and I see a life that is changed. See, in the midst of our prayers, here's what I want you to see, and I want us to glean this morning. That when you pray and when you seek God, and you pray like Jesus said, not my will, but yours. When you acknowledge who God is, and you surrender your will to God, that all things are possible. And sometimes it's not so much about what's out there, but what's in there. See, and I want to challenge us because, you know what, maybe right now things are really good for you. Maybe right now, you know, life is, you know, it's kind of smooth. You know, really nice. It's just kind of, things are going along really well. I got news for you. It ain't going to last. I'm going to encourage you this morning. Life doesn't always go the way we want. Life doesn't always end up the way we want. Life isn't always smooth and easy. There are challenges in life. There are hurts and there's pains in life. It's life. And it's not fair. But when you walk with God and you stay with God and you lean on God and you lean into God and His will and His strength, you can walk through anything. Jesus walked through death. Think about that. Now, I want to make sure you notice what I say. He walked through death. Because you know what? They did kill him. But he rose again. You know, they did the worst they could do to him. But he rose again. See, God had a plan. And God has a plan for us. I want to encourage you this morning. It's not about the outcomes in life. It's about life that God cares about. It's about you. And when Jesus cried out, Abba, Father, he was saying, God, I know you know. And I know you care. And I know you're aware. And I know you can do anything. Sometimes I wonder why, if it's possible. My mind, I'm just a human being. Sometimes I wonder, is it possible? But God, I know you can. And so, God, I'm just going to lean on you. I'm just going to lean because, you know, you have a plan. You have a purpose. Life isn't just haphazard rolling along. That you are doing something. And that something is not those things. It's me. See, I want to challenge you to let God work in you. To let God do something great in you. The outcomes, you can't change. You may want to run from them. You may try to hide from them. Peter tried. Peter ran. He took off. Before the sun rose, that rooster crowed, Peter was gone. Matter of fact, he lasted longer than the other ones did. They didn't even last that long. They ran in the garden. I think it's real interesting. I don't know why the guy talked about it. He ran away naked, it says. Yeah. He wanted to get away so bad, he didn't care about clothes or anything. He was gone. Yeah. Temptation is there. Easy way out. Shortcuts. Little white lies. Little half-truths, little, we won't go through that. We'll go this way. We'll go that way. And sometimes you just have to go. But if you lean on God and His will and His strength, you can walk through anything because He is God and all things are possible. So at the bottom of the page, I put it real simple. Thy will be done. God, thy will. I want it different. I'm going to raise my hand. Sometimes I'm going to be honest. Sometimes, God, I want it different. I don't want that news. I don't want to hear it. I don't want it to go that way. I don't like the way it's going. I want you to change it. God, you got to do something. I just can't stand it this way, God. It's killing me this way, God. Can you do anything else, God? If at all possible, God. But all things are possible, God. Can you change this, God? I've prayed that. Heavy-hearted and aching, I've prayed that. God, it's got to be different. Then I have to get up and go, not my will, but yours. I don't know about you. That's hard. That's why I say I got to lean on God. Will you lean on Him today? Will you lean unto God? I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know where you're at. You know, but life throws those curveballs at us. Those circumstances and those situations. Pressure, stress, work, family. I can name finances. I mean, just go on and on. School, all those situations. It's all there. But God, Abba, Father, all things are possible. Can you take this away? But not my will, but yours. Will you surrender to God your life? Let Him guide you and bless you. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You that You're not a God who's wandered off. That You are a God who is in our midst, and you care, and you know. And sometimes in that midst, Lord, we are in places that are hurtful. The circumstances, the situations, Lord, are painful. There's family situations, there's friends, there's health, there's jobs, there's marriages, Lord. It's all there, and it's painful. You know why we're praying? Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. Maybe you're in that midst right now. Maybe you're in the midst of some really heartache, and maybe you're distressed like Jesus was, and anguish like Jesus was. I want to pray for you right now. Would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you right now. I see it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Lord, you see the hands that lifted up. They're in the midst of that anguish, just as your son was, as he bowed in the garden. Lord, we bow in this place, a place we call a church, a place we call holy, Lord. And I bring these to you, Lord, in their hurts and their pains and the anguish, Lord, the sorrow they're feeling. And I lift them up to you, Lord, that you may comfort them and touch them, because you care. And Lord, we'll pray like Jesus prayed, Lord, if it's possible, Lord. And yet we know all things are possible. Abba, Father, all things are possible. Can you change what needs to be changed? Can you interfere? Can you step into those situations? Whatever it may be, Lord, wherever it may be, can you step into the hands that were raised, Lord? Can you step into those lives and those circumstances that they find them and change it? Just as Jesus prayed, Lord, let this cup pass. But Lord, I pray not our will, but yours. So Lord, let us lean on you. Your will, your strength. Touch hearts, strengthen and empower. Lord, let your spirit that dwells in the hearts of your believers rise up in them right now and just comfort them, encourage them, and give them strength to face what they need to face, to stand and to walk just as Jesus did, that they'll stand and walk for you. Lord, I pray all this in the name of Jesus, in the name of your son's name. Amen. We always give an invitation at the end of our service. And you know why Jesus had to die? I'm going to tell you real quick.